It's Sevenland Ham. Brought to you by Good Game St. James. MI5. Bogey. Doyle. That old Scottish guy. The professional.
Whoa. David.
Aaron, it's the intro. So, what? What is it?
I feel something is wrong.
No, I couldn't hear above the screeching tires of my Capri.
I think lines have been crossed somewhere. We're doing M15.
M.
Not MI5. M15.
It's Sevenland Hands! Brought to you by Good Game St. James. 15. That's 15. A deliciously yummy core set's coming our way. Spoilers. Not commentary at the last San Marino Grand Prix, but a selection of tasty treats hoiked out of the Wizard's sleeve. And before you write in a complaint, I'm talking about Wizards of the Coast. Urban Dictionary fans, confused? You will be. Well, that was all very embarrassing, but to join me in the rest of the fuck-up, I have Apex Predator Aaron Graham.
That's probably the best one that you've ever said. I'm an Apex Predator, that's
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's you, man.
I was still at the nightclubs.
Shut up, you haven't been introduced yet. And the deep vein thorn beside himself, Kianing Apparition DVT. His name's Kian.
Hello there.
Welcome. Well, how's things, guys, gentlemen?
I'm doing well, yeah.
We've got a core set coming.
Doing very... core set. I'm
so excited.
It's white.
It's white. Oh, the packaging
is white.
Fantastic.
With glowy purple eyes.
White with glowy purple eyes and just black streaks of Garrick all over it.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to the time when they can put real lights on every booster pack.
Oh, yeah, just like little LEDs on every booster.
Yeah,
just
that'd be
flashing
cool.
Flashing in the cabinet.
I thought the last... I mean, as excited I was about the last core set, it's too colourful.
It was too colourful? It wasn't black? It was Chandra.
M13 was black.
Oh, it was just black.
Yeah.
Black,
that last one. Yeah, it was Chandra. Yeah. It was blue.
Chandra
it was
blue
flames.
And red.
And now, white. I like it when they run out of colours for a core set.
But if you look at the standard sets at the moment, there's two sets that are very red, and the boxes look exactly the same.
Born of the Gods and Gatecrash.
Yeah. Both middle set, both red. Very confusing.
Every time I sit down for a meal, I always get... Oh, sorry. M15 Spoilers, Part 1. We're going to talk about Planeswalkers, guys.
Yeah, this is a big mythic, splashy, rares of the set.
Yeah, the cards that everyone gets excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So to kick it off, Ajani Steadfast.
So
Ajani's back.
Yeah, we got an Ajani like 2 months ago. Ajani Mentos of Heroes.
Hang on, are you ready? He's ubiquitous.
He's practically ubiquitous.
He is.
Whatever that means.
He's everywhere.
Oh, that's what it means. Okay, yeah, Ajani Steadfast. So in his artwork, he's wearing Elspeth's cloak, which he stole from her cold, dead body on Tharos.
Wow, this is the story background.
Yeah. So he's Steadfast now.
Do we know what he does off the card?
Yeah, so his plus one ability is target creature gets +1/+1, first strike, lifelink, and vigilance until end of turn, which is a lot of abilities
for one
creature to have. His second ability, Kian?
His second ability is put -2, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control, and increase the loyalty of all planeswalkers you control by 1.
So that's the first time that they've mentioned loyalty counters on planeswalkers. So for other people that have just been using dice, planeswalkers do enter the battlefield with loyalty counters on them. And that's what you're plussing and minusing when you activate their abilities or they get attacked. And then his ultimate ability is also crazy. I forget the exact wording. Can you read it off there?
You get an emblem with, if a source would deal damage to a planeswalker you control, prevent all but one of that damage.
To you or a planeswalker you control, right?
No, just planeswalker.
That was
a mistranslation.
Oh my god!
Mistranslation.
So I read
for all of us that have been reading the Japanese cards.
Well, it got spoiled in Japanese on a Japanese website first.
Yeah.
People translated it and they're like, prevent all damage a source would deal to you or a planeswalker you control is like, oh my god, that's insane.
Ridiculous.
It's really good because it just means you only ever take one damage from that Stormbreath Dragon, that Polukranos, that whatever.
However, Elspeth still smashes your face.
Oh, Elspeth still does one each. But this one, only prevents damage to planeswalkers you control, so not fantastic as far as ultimates go. But his other two abilities, very strong. Really reminds me of original Ajani Goldmane. His first one involves some life gain. Kind of protects himself, this one, by giving the creature lifelink and vigilance so that it can stick around to attack and defend. And then the rest of the thing can just pump your team. And buff your Planeswalkers as well. So.
So is it enough to make a Planeswalker deck just based on this guy alone?
Yeah, there's a few things.
I mean, like, Planeswalker decks have already been a thing because if you have multiple Planeswalkers on the battlefield, you're just winning anyway.
Yeah. It's like so you're like, casting four or five spells a turn.
Yeah, so a Planeswalker that helps your other Planeswalkers is getting out there. Like
the red green monsters deck was pretty heavy on the Planeswalkers.
Yeah, you go Domri into Xanagos into Chandra, and they're like, oh, fuck, who am I attacking? Oh, shit, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
Heroes Downfall, one of them. You can only have so many Heroes Downfall.
That's true.
I think Kiora is a good example of a Planeswalker that might work really well with the Johnny Steadfast because she has she only comes in at 2 loyalty and her ultimate is 5, correct?
5, yeah.
Yeah, so like she comes down, you tick her up, she's on 3. Ajani comes down next turn.
Oh, puts 4, it at 5, like and then on the tick turn up. After.
Yeah, so like you could be looking at turn 6, ultimating
Kiora, which is you get an emblem and your end step put a 9-9 Kraken into play. So that's totally not undoable, especially because both of those Planeswalkers protect themselves from being damaged.
Yeah.
Kiora puts the little bubble on something that can't deal damage for a turn, and Ajani gives one of your creatures vigilance to just throw it in the way, and then you just be making Krakens before you know what's happening.
There's a joke in that, isn't there?
Get cracking before you know what's happening.
There we go.
I see what you did there, Mr.
Yeah. All right, so we're always excited about Jace, aren't we? And this time it's Jace the Living Guild Pact.
Yeah, so
this sounds like a misprint in itself. The Living Guild Pact.
So this is another storyline thing. They've just given you a snapshot of the Planeswalkers, like where they're doing. Like Ajani's just very sad. Jace,
is he? Is that right?
The combination of the...
He's probably going blind in his one eye.
Oh, yeah. His one other eyes. One's just got, like, little cataracts. Yeah. Cataracts.
Ah! Oh, I'm 5, Aaron.
Can I leave now?
Yeah.
You can leave.
Cataracts. You can go if you want. Oh, that's gold. That's pod gold.
It's pod gold.
Jace, is he good or bad? Is he good or bad this time?
Oh, can I tell the story about him first?
Yeah.
Oh, so the combination of the Return to Ravnica story was Niv-Mizzet made a little maze for all the guilds to solve, and then Jace solved it. So none of the guilds won. And then the prize for winning was he became the Living Guild Pact, which is a representation of the guilds never fighting again. So it's Jace, world peace.
I see. Oh, it is like the like the basketball player.
Yeah, yeah, exactly it's the same.
Are we excited about this?
So his first ability is look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one in the graveyard.
Right.
No, that's it.
So he's plus one. So he must have another plus one in you.
No. Okay. He's comes in with 5 loyalty.
Yeah. Which is very good.
It's very high.
Yeah. And considering the ult is only 8, you know, like, it's not that much of a stretch.
Oh, I didn't mention he costs 2 blue. So he comes down on 4, same as Jace, Architect of Thought.
Yeah.
Comes in with 5 loyalty.
So he's pretty survivable. He's going to take at least 1 hit.
He's
going to
take a couple hits from creatures before he dies. His second ability... Return is -3. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. It's just kind of like a bounce a creature for
one of those
one
creatures
turn?
That you put in your graveyard when you plus one. Now you can put it in your hand.
No, I think you just want to return their attacking creatures, like a Pelucranos. You return it to their hand so that it's not going to attack Jace. But the reason
I thought
that
it was okay. Sorry.
It's like the reason that you want to do that is to protect Jace from being attacked, right? Yeah. But you -3 loyalty counters from him?
Yeah.
Like, it's going
to... So you might as well take a hit, like, if it's a 2-2 or something.
Yeah,
like
do his plus ability, he'll get hit for 3, and it was the same kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
I mean, like, every single time they've given us a Planeswalker that can defend themselves, they've either been very expensive, had no other good abilities, or have had very low loyalty. Yeah. Kiora, another good example. Mm-hmm. Had to go back to her. Jace, the Living Guild Pact, is... Okay.
We've never had a Planeswalker protect itself ability. Like, Planeswalkers are generally good if they can protect themselves without you doing anything else.
Yeah.
And this one is very expensive on its loyalty. Like, you can't even do it 2 turns in a row. And if you're paying 4 mana to return a creature to its owner's hand, like, that's... Like it's not very good value. So the only thing you want to be doing with Jace the Living Guild Pact, I feel, is his ultimate ability...
Which is insane.
Read it.
Reads, each player shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into their library. You draw 7.
They don't draw 7. So they have no hand or graveyard. You have 7 cards in your hand and no graveyard. So that's what you want to do. You want to reset the game Hopefully, Jace, you're ahead on the board.
Hopefully, you're not playing a. Hopefully, you're not playing a mill deck with your blue. with your blue Jace.
Oh, God.
I've just about won. Oh, just ultimate Jason. Oh, I didn't realize what I was doing. Oh.
I just wanted to draw seven cards.
You actually put yourself behind in that race because you draw seven and you now lose.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So. Yeah, let's
so that's
that.
What you want to do. You want to have seven cards in your hand, but you've got to be ahead on the board to make them not having a hand very good for you and your seven cards. So it's kind of...
The only other use I can see for him is there's been a lot of times when I play Control where I'm like, they've resolved a thing, and I'm like, damn, I can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they tried to play it again, I could counter it because I have a counter spell in my hand. Yeah. So I make them bounce a dude. They're just going to play it again, obviously.
Because all the lands are still out, right?
All the lands are
so
the same, yeah.
They're going to be picking up a card, dumping a card straight out, and, you know, well, whatever it is, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
By the time you get there.
You expect them to be doing that. But, like, the fact is Ultimate doesn't affect the board at all means that they could just play whatever they play off the top and you can't do that much about it.
Because if it's -8, he comes in with 5 potentially, and
so
he'll
it takes
come in at
6,
four.
7, 8, it's 4 turns with them not interacting with him.
So
don't forget about a Johnny.
Oh, a Johnny giving him plus counters.
Oh,
yeah,
I
sure.
see. Yeah. So a Johnny's going to save all of the planeswalkers. So so as long as you have a Johnny, all the shitty planeswalkers are still okay. Right, I got
Tybalt.
It.
Tybalt, nah, still bad. still bad.
sorry, Tybalt. We love you for your horns and eyes.
No, he's a nice guy. Torture,
he is a nice guy.
I would never hang out.
I had a beer with him once. He was good. And he was like, he had some really good anecdotes.
Yeah, some stories.
He talked for a while.
But then you never wanted to see him again.
No, I was a bit sick of it. Yeah, you're right. He just goes on and on.
One-trick pony. That's
So I've never invited him on the pod because you'd never get a word in edgewise.
Wish Land of Nyx. That sounds more like what Tybalt would sound like.
Yeah. Wish Land of Nyx. Yeah. All right, who else have we got? We've got Nissa, World Waker. Powerful. The question is... How powerful? How powerful?
It's quite powerful.
Quite powerful.
That's the end.
All right, so give us his stats. Her stats, sorry.
So Nissa, World Waker, costs 3 green-green, so 5 total. Comes down with 3 loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So game, very middle of the road.
You're going to immediately plus 1 her, so it'll be 4.
Yeah. Her plus 1, target land you control becomes a 4/4 elemental creature with trample. It's still a land.
That's permanent.
I was going to say, for how long? Until the end of... No, it just is.
So you pay 5.
Ultra Muta Vault.
You plus 1 her. One of your lands can become a creature permanently. So 4/4 trample is nothing to sneeze at. Like, that's,
no,
it's pretty
really
solid.
Sweet.
And
really
how much does it cost to cast her?
5.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're not getting ahead.
I have found something very awkward a little bit about her. Me and Ash have been testing a bunch of decks with M15.
Ash Webster. Still wants to play Ash Webster. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
And whenever he played
Nissa,
had
a 4/4 elemental as a land, I then overloaded Mizzium Mortars.
Oh, and killed all his creatures and one of his lands.
Which is slightly awkward. However, Mizzium Mortars rotating in 3 months.
Oh, in 3 months, yeah, we won't have.
So as soon as the land gets a creature tag, it's destroyable by...
susceptible to Supreme Verdict, susceptible to Mizzium Mortars kill spell. So it's like a 4/4 with trample is going to be one of the biggest things on the board. So I'm going to aim removal spells at it because I kill a creature and I kill a land.
Yeah.
But her second ability, also a plus ability.
Oh,
which is pretty sweet.
Which
and
is
we
very
have,
cool.
We've only seen that, what, like 3 times now?
Yeah, a couple of times. It was on original Elspeth. It was on Ajani.
Yeah.
And now Nissa.
Mm-hmm. Ajani had to. Yeah, so what's this? Plus
and
1.
And 1 later on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hello.
Untap up to 4 target forests.
Untap.
So plus 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
just let that sink in there.
Yeah, so you pay 5 mana.
Yeah.
You do her second plus 1 ability, not the other one because you think they've got a Mizzy Mortis or something.
Yeah.
And you
she becomes 4. She has foil at
points. Yeah, so she goes 3.
And then you immediately untap 4 of those lands that you just used to have another go.
Cast the Pelucranus.
They do have to be forests though. They can't just be any land.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else are you playing?
So if you if you're mono green, amazing. You're gonna untap 4 of your lands, do something crazy. If you can play a Pelucranus, you can play a Xenagos the Reveler if you untap a Stomping Ground as one of those. That's ridiculous, I feel.
Okay, that's juicy.
I think the craziest thing is if you untap with Nissa and say you've got 3 forests out.
which is reasonable.
You play your sixth land, say it's a forest, you tap six of that, use her plus one ability, untap four, tap them again, you got 10 mana on turn six.
Do you see her Hydra for nine.
Do you see her going in a multicolored deck?
Or
is it going to be heavily weighted?
3 months.
Only for the next few months, because we've got the shock lands that have both land types.
Yes, of course.
So I imagine it's going to go on decks with Breeding Pool, go on decks with Stomping Grounds to play Xenagos and Dragon and whatever. But after that, like, it's only going to go on mono green. We feel like the lands that are in M15 don't have basic land types. They're the pain lands, which means every time you pay, want to tap them for one of their colors, it deals one damage to you.
Okay.
Those, not very synergistic with this. So both of her plus abilities, quite strong individually, but both quite susceptible to, A, you don't have four forests in play, or the other one is like, your lands can now be targeted by removal spells.
I do feel, though, that there's going to be two decks that want to play Nissa. One deck is going to be the mono green decks that's always going to be wanting to untap their forest to play more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other is going to be a planeswalker heavy deck or even just a mid rangey deck that's always going to be wanting to make elementals. So I feel that with her 2+1, she can fit into two decks, but the two decks may not necessarily want the other plus one.
Yeah, so it's kind of diluting it a bit because her abilities are only... You're either...
If it's forest-related, there's no other... there might be other green...
There might be,
There might be other green planeswalkers coming.
Ooh, heavy. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then her ultimate ability is pretty ridiculous. Also leaves you super soft to Supreme Verdict. As far as I remember, it's get any amount of lands out of your deck...
I'm going to stop you there.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. How about we just wrap it, we read the card? Oh, yeah, sure. Let's do that old trick.
Basic lands.
Oh.
So, not quite as good as that.
No mutable.
But again, after October? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basic lands, put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Those lands become 4/4 elementals with trample. They're still lands.
Overload Mizzy Modus?
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to shuffle up and leave.
Okay, so hang on. You go through the deck for how many lands?
As many as you want.
As many basic lands as you want.
And how do they get out onto the table?
Tapped.
They come out
tapped. They come into play tapped and as 4/4 creatures.
Right.
Nope. Untapped.
Oh, untapped. What the hell?
Yep. I thought this card was something slightly different.
You ultimate it and come across the table with...
They don't have haste.
They don't have haste.
Yeah.
Unless you have Hammer of Perforos.
Of course.
Oh, that's interesting. Hammer of Perforos. Red-green hammer. But, like, her ultimate's -7. So you need to have Nissa out for 5 turns, uninteracted with, to get a million 4/4s out of your deck. Which can all be killed. They're all pretty soft to...
Again, the ultimate, not the most important part of the Planeswalkers, but her first two abilities are sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. If you're playing a mono green, you want to get lots of creatures out. You're going to have lots of creatures.
And lots of mana,
And if you can, and green usually helps you get there with lots of mana. So if you've got ultimate mana and ultimate creatures, you just immediately the board. Your board presence is going to be insane if you get a good run with that, yeah?
I think mono green, Elvish Mystic reprinted in this set. We've got Sylvan Caryatid, Courser of Kryphix. I think mono green actually looks really strong just because you can chuck Nissa out on turn 4 and untap turn 3, you're not untapping 3 forests. Forests.
Turn 3, untap my 2 forests. Play a Voyaging Seder. Yeah, buddy.
Oh, okay, sure. And Nykthos or whatever as well. Very interesting. We'll have to see what happens with it.
Okay. So, Garrick. He's an apex predator. Or is he some Aaron?
What? Garrick, a sex predator.
Ah.
That's
I'm really glad we're around the corner from the huge Garrick that's in the store at the moment.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he might follow us home.
He's armed. All right. Now this guy comes at quite a cost.
Yeah, so
is he worth it?
He's the face of the set. He's been corrupted by Liliana and all that crap on Innistrad. He's black.
She would corrupt me as well.
He's black green.
Okay.
So second time only there's been a multicolored planeswalker in the core set.
Yeah.
Garrick, Apex Predator. He is 5 black green. Read off his abilities, Keane.
+1, destroy target planeswalker.
Whoa, that's ridiculous.
Hello, Johnny.
Punch him to death.
Yeah.
With Garruk. So, yeah, Garruk's a big hunter, fighting and killing other planeswalkers all around the multiverse.
He's an apex predator. He's just, right, you're dead.
He's the top of the planeswalker food chain.
Which is very scary.
How many loyalty points does he come in with?
He comes in with 5.
He comes in with 5.
So if you plus one him, he goes to 6.
Sure. So for 7 mana, I think you expect something like that. The last time we had a 7 mana planeswalker was Khan. Which was...
He came in with 7 loyalty, right?
He came with 7
and... 4 plus 3?
Yeah, plus 3. Yeah. So Khan could practically protect himself by just having shitloads of loyalty. But this one...
Coming in at 7, you want to win the game pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it's
got to do something insane. So he's got a multitude of abilities. Just read up the next one.
His next ability is plus 1, put a 3-3 beast with Death Touch onto the battlefield.
Oh, that's pretty good. So he's going to protect himself, can block anything. Read off his third ability.
His third ability is quite a good one. I've used this a few times in testing. Destroy target creature, you gain life equal to its toughness.
So you kill something and eat it.
Destroy target creature. Mm-hmm. Oh, you gain life.
Which is really sweet.
So that's a pretty good 3 abilities on a planeswalker. Those are the
Jace the Mind Sculptor. No, wait. So he does have a 4th ability.
Shock horror.
It's crazy.
It is.
I wasn't expecting that.
His ultimate is very wordy.
Okay,
that's it. I'm gone.
Prepare yourself.
Use the commas, Ken. Might help you through it.
No, damn it. Punctuation. Target opponent gets an emblem with whenever a creature attacks you, it gets +5/+5 and gains trample until end of turn.
So this is the first time you've given an emblem to your opponent
to boost you.
So yeah, to help you. So I'm fighting you, Devin. I'm going to ultimate my Garruk. You get an emblem that says whenever a creature attacks you, David. That creature gets +5/+5 and trample into any.
Is that any kind of multiplayer thing? Because that would mean that, you know, that person would...
That's going to be insane.
Yeah. Oh, whenever anyone attacks... Oh, yeah, I guess
so then when
crazy.
Anyone attacks you, instead of it being when you attack someone else, whenever you attack them with gets +5/+5, everybody that attacks that person.
Yeah, so it gives incentive for other people to attack them and stuff. In dual magic, one-on-one magic, it's going to kill them very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, your Elvish Mystic is a 6-6.
6-6,
with
trample,
Also, if any of his beasts are attacking, that's a 8-8 trample death touch.
Oh, yeah, trample death touch go very well together.
Yeah, I mean, 1 damage, 7 to you, have fun.
That's pretty good. 8-8 trample death touch. Is it trample death touch?
Trample
death
and
touch?
Death. Yeah, because it has death touch on the token and it gets trample from the emblem.
Oh, yeah.
So, pretty potent abilities.
Have we seen the tokens yet? Because I'm always really excited for the tokens.
They did a preview for them. The tokens have a new frame as well. They look weird.
Is it just different weird? Or
I think it's different weird, but they look a lot more clinical than the old ones. The old ones I quite liked, but these ones say token creature on them now. And it's just, they look very blocky and...
Okay, I'd have to see.
I'm not the biggest fan of them. It's also where they previewed the new insect tokens for Hornet Queen, squid tokens with Island Walk, which is made by Chasm Skulker in the set.
Right.
And there's a few interesting things.
So maybe we might mention those a bit later on. All right, Mythics. This is the cards everyone gets excited about.
Mm-hmm.
The Soul Cycle, I believe, is... after we've talked about all the Planeswalkers, obviously they're Mythics too, but the Soul Cycle, what have we got in there?
We've got some very interesting ones in this, because in Core Set...
very Motown, the James or James Brown.
The Soul Cycle.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. Is that what it's about?
Blues.
It's my R&B weekend band. I'm just trying to throw them in the Mythic Rare slot. Wizards paid them a lot of money for that.
A lot of money.
Anyway, Soul Cycle. These are avatar creatures. All cost 6 mana. All mythic. All 6/6s with...
one of each color, I'd imagine.
Yeah, each color and an artifact one. They all have an ability word. So the white one has vigilance. The blue one has flying. Black one has death touch. A 6/6 with death touch is pretty shit. But they always do that.
Yeah.
Red has first strike. Green has reach, not trample. The colorless one has trample. And a really cool thing that they've done is name them after each of the planes that we've been having magic sets from in the last few years.
Yeah.
So we've got white is Soul of Theros. Blue is Soul of Ravnica. Black, Soul of Innistrad. Red is Soul of Shandalar, which is the just generic fantasy plane where the core sets are... located. Green is the soul of Zendikar, and the really cool one, which no one was expecting, was the artifact one is the soul of New Phyrexia, which is the one that got corrupted, Mirrodin that got corrupted a few sets ago.
Fabulous.
So each of them, they're all. It's a very tight cycle in that each of them just has an ability that you can activate when it's in play. Generally costs 5 mana, sometimes a little bit more, and then you can exile them from your graveyard to do that ability one more time. They're all quite
expensive.
Yeah, like they cost 6 for a 6/6 with an ability, which is fine. All of the Titans had that.
Yeah.
In M10 and M11
except
and M12.
Their ability was obviously free.
But their ability was when it entered the battlefield and when it attacked. These ones you have to pay mana every single time that you do it.
Ah, right.
Okay,
well don't jump in there, Kian. Which one's the best one? You can jump in there
Chandelier.
What does that one do? Give us a rundown of the
card. Can we
give
our different opinions on this one?
Sure. Okay, you get to talk in a minute, but Kian, what is Soul
Aaron,
of Chandelier?
You don't exist right now.
Soul of Chandelier, Kian.
Soul of Chandelier is the red one. It's 6 mana, so 4 red-red. Has first strike and a 6/6, which is not bad. Its ability is Searing Blaze, or for people who don't know what that card is, 3 mana, red-red, 3 damage to target creature, and 3 damage to target player.
Oh, and?
Yeah.
Right.
So 6 damage all up, which is pretty
good. For five
mana.
Okay.
And obviously you can exile it from the graveyard to do the ability again.
Mm-hmm. For the same cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one's good. If you untap with it, you'll kill something with 3 toughness. Maybe deal 3 damage to a planeswalker or 3 damage to their face. But 5 mana for 3 damage to a creature and to a player is like not a great return on your thing. So it's like but it's attached to a 6/6 with first strike, so it's like it's never going to be bad. But for 5 mana you could be casting like Stormbreath Dragon.
How does the exile mechanic work from the graveyard?
It's like a 3 red-red, exile Soul of Chandelier from your graveyard. Deal 3 damage to a creature, deal 3 damage to a player.
So he's already got to be in the graveyard before you can do that thing. So you play with him as a 6/6, he gets knocked over, goes to your graveyard, then you pay the mana, and he comes back and just does 3 to the face, 3 to a creature, and then he's gone.
Yeah, so usually when a creature dies, you didn't get value out of it. Like, if someone heroes downfalls your dragon, it's in the graveyard, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, spend another 5 mana on it. Now I can see that that's not so good.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a knee-jerk reaction. Is that not so good?
It's not fantastic.
Because I wouldn't want to spend 5 on something that's just going to do that. Because, you know, those burn sort of spells, I always feel like you want to do them later on in the game where you're definitely going to knock the person over. Because you just do something like that, and then they attack, they've got lifelink, and that 3 goes back on or something like that. And it's just like, well, I just spent mana doing nothing. I've got no board presence.
Yeah.
So I feel like nothing happened.
The unfortunate thing about it is that it's a 6 mana creature. If the damage you really care about, you don't want to be paying 6 mana and then 5 mana to deal 3 damage to their face.
Yeah.
And like, even if it's in the graveyard and it hangs out until later, you don't want to be paying 5. You don't want to be spending your entire. You can do it at instant speed, so you can do it in their turn, the exile it from the graveyard thing. But
might save you a creature. If they're attacking, you can block him and save a creature.
The reason why I like this one the best is I am a little bit of a red mage. I do like my red spells, but I feel like this one fits most coherently into a strategy that already exists.
Right.
So all the other ones are really cool, and we will touch on them, but this one fits very well into Red Devotion, which is a deck that wants to be playing lots of early creatures which have lots of red pips so they can activate Nykthos and do stupid things with mana.
Mm-hmm.
So Overloading Mizzium Mortars, playing Soul of Chandelier, Monstrosity, Stormbreath Dragon.
Yeah.
And you do this through Bending Tree Emissary, Ash Sealets, and Boros Reckoners.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
which will have double, triple red pips in their mana cost.
This is the one thing that I think may redeem the souls, in that we live in a world with Nykthos, and Nykthos can just tap for like 20 mana. I've seen it before. I remember when Theros first came out and Green Devotion started popping up. People were like, make 50 mana in a turn.
Yeah, like vomit permanence into play. And like Garrett put a Worldspine Worm in, or not a Worldspine Worm, some huge thing.
You can do that stuff, and this might give you a good way to sink the mana. And the red deck is always dealing damage to its opponents. So, you know, if they're on 6, 2 activations, 10 mana in a single turn when you're playing with Burning Tree Emissary, not unfeasible.
Yeah, that, so, like, I understand all that, but the thing I'm worried about is that Stormbreath Dragon and Monstrousing it is a very good way to spend 12 mana,
yeah.
Whereas this, you're spending 11 mana for a 6-6 with First Strike. That's not as good as a 4-4 with Flying and Haste.
Yeah, true.
And the Monstrous ability can deal 6-7 damage. It's more than 3, which you're paying 5 mana for. You can do it more and more, and you can do it from the graveyard, sure, but, like, it's not a great return on the mana you spend. And also, like, Fanatic of Mogus still exists, and that card is also very good in those decks where you're going to be dealing 8, like, if you make 20 mana, you're going to be dealing 20 damage to their face as well. So
yeah, it's one thing to look at the functionality of a card in isolation, but then when you rack it up against the other cards you play in that spot, you start going, it's like a different decision.
Yeah,
you could go, oh, that'd be fun to play with, and you could see how it might work. But
you've got also Stormwind Dragon has protection from white, which this does not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the big thing which is going to control whether these cards are good or not is Khans of Tarkir.
So oh, yeah, true.
Obviously, that's the next set. We're going to lose all of Ravnica and all of M14. And if they have good devotion enablers in that set, then these cards could be really good. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, you know, the red and the green ones are the closest to playable because you get Burning Tree Emissary, which is free mana, basically.
Mm.
You know,
is the fact they've made a mythics an indication that might happen? Because why would you? Because mythics are what everyone goes hunting for, isn't it? You know, and they look back on a set, they go, "Oh, that, those, you know, that was
so
cool." That
so
was
they made
cool,
the Titans and M11 yeah, and M12, exactly. And they were everywhere. Every deck was like 4 of Primeval Titan, 3 of Inferno Titan.
Still look
Titan.
Back at them and go, "That look cool."
They're, you know, so they're, good. Yeah. People still love them now. They're awesome commander cards.
Some of them are banned.
Some of them, one of them is banned.
Do you see any of the Soul Cycle cards being banned?
No.
Because
it's just like...
Straight no.
I think there we have it there, right? All right. Do you have a different favorite to that one?
I have a different favorite, but it's very niche. It's Soul of Ravnica.
Right.
Soul of Ravnica is a 6-6 with flying for 6. So already that can beat down. I'm thinking of this as a finisher in a control deck.
Replacing Aetherling, right?
Replacing Aetherling, which is rotating out. So post-rotation, Soul of Ravnica is 4 blue-blue, 6-6 with flying. Pay 5 blue-blue, so 7 mana. Draw a card for each color among permanents you control. So once Ravnica's gone, we will lose Detention Sphere, which is 2 colors that you'd be wanting.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it just kind of goes in a Planeswalker ramp deck where you have a Jani Kiora out. You know, just 7 mana, draw 3 cards. It's going to be a way to, again, sink lots of mana in once they've run out of answers. Maybe Thoughtseize their stuff away. Well, this is a very... This is a very high cost 4 color control deck that I'm dreaming
up. To be fair,
like,
that entire strategy can never be achieved until Sphinx's Revelation doesn't
exist. Sphinx's Revelation does all of those things better. So we honestly just have to see.
Yeah, between Corset and October, it's always crazy time, isn't it? Because we've got so many freaking cards. It's just.
I mean, I think the reason why this is mythic is very simple. It's just, if these were at rare, they would make limited miserable.
Oh, yeah. Which is a legitimate reason for them to put them at Mythic. I don't think they pushed them enough that all of them are going to be constructed playable like the Titans were.
Yeah.
I'm edging on the side of they're not very good, but I'm a little bit excited about one or two of them.
Yeah, there's potential.
Down to rares. Mm-hmm. We've got Aether Spouts.
So this is 3 blue-blue.
Yeah.
Instant. For each attacking creature, its controller puts it on the top or the bottom of their library.
For each attacking creature, the opponent... Go on, do it again.
For each attacking creature, its controller puts it on the top or the bottom of their library. So...
That doesn't even come across to me like a sentence. That's just like... what the hell does my card say?
Okay, so you're attacking me with 3 creatures.
Gotcha.
A 1-1, a 2-2, and a 3-3.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's turn 5. I have 5 mana untapped. You attack me with your 3 creatures.
Yeah.
A 1-1, a 2-2, and a 3-3.
Yeah, I'm going to win the game.
you feel good.
I'm going to win.
I'm on 6 life. It's crazy.
This is great.
So you're in a pretty commanding position.
Absolutely.
Bam, I cast...
Oh.
Bam, treason.
I cast... not Aether Spouts.
Yeah, it's Aether Spouts.
Shit. Oh, shit. What happens now?
So now...
Yeah.
You pick up all 3 of your creatures. They're not attacking anymore. They go into either the top or the bottom of your library.
Oh.
So you want that 3-3 back because it's got a cool enters a battlefield ability. Put it on the top. That's what you're drawing next turn.
Yeah.
The 1-1 and the 2-2, not so much. You put them on the bottom.
Right.
If you want the 2 of your creatures back, you've got to put them back on top of your library in any order you choose. So it's just kind of like, oh, I don't want to draw these again.
But I wanted some land next time, though, you know?
Very interesting. There's no destroy all creatures in this set that costs less than 7 mana.
So how much is Aether Spouse?
This is 5.
5.
5.
So this might be the thing that control decks go to. They're getting attacked by 3-4 creatures, swarms. It completely just destroys any tokens.
Elspeth,
which is good. Yeah, Elspeth, Xenagos.
Any tribal effects? This sort of stuff? Maybe, is there any tribal effects in 15?
No, not heaps. No. There's a little bit of soldiers, but
we're still
not
worried about minotaurs, stuff like that. No.
Don't say that word, David. Say that word.
Forget it.
Otherwise, Mutavolt.
But this one is good in that, you can put Mutavolts on top of their deck. Creatures that they do get the choice of whether they get to draw them again or not, but it's delaying them by a turn.
It's a big tempo play.
Yeah. Because it's denying them draw steps to refill their hand, or it's just practically destroying creatures by putting them on the bottom. So it's very interesting. I've been convinced that it's a lot better than it was. The first time I saw it, I was like, this is shit.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those cards. When I've just understood the card, it feels like one of those. You can't make a call on it initially.
It's very hard to evaluate.
Because when it comes in as well, like a 5 with a, how's that going to look? Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose against your green cards, your green decks, if they're trying to bulk up on creatures, you can, like you said, get a tempo play, bring the board state back your way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Throw stuff on the table. I think it does just enough that it's going to see some play, but it's really hard to tell whether it's a 4 of in every control deck.
3 off the board is quite a lot, isn't it? That's pretty good.
Just for 5 mana instant, and with Sphinx's Revelation, it'll be good to have this up or thing.
What's the one that we had in Theros, the Sea God's Revenge or something like that? That was 3.
It was a 6 mana sorcery, and that was like... Obviously, you're never going to play in Constructed because it's a 6 mana sorcery. But but you could never recover. It was very difficult to recover in a limited game. Where they're like, Sea God's Revenge, your 3 creatures. And you're like, how the fuck? How am I supposed to? Oh, Scry 1, sorry. how am I ever supposed to recover from you just getting rid of?
Yeah, it's taken me the game so creatures. Far to get rid of get 3 people out.
It took me 4 turns to play those creatures. I have to play.
You bastard.
You bastard.
And this is instant speed?
This is instant.
And one less.
Yeah. But they do have to be attacking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The thing that might hold this card back is Aetherize has been in standard for like a year and a half and no one has ever cast that spell against me. Aetherize being
4
mana.
Yeah.
3 in a blue, return all attacking creatures to their owner's hand. So they go to their hand, not on top of their library. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen time and time again, slightly cheaper is often better.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see, I think.
I think this either... They have the choice of either denying themselves draw steps or never drawing them again because they're on the bottom of the deck.
It's much better. Sometimes it's slightly depressing to know that, that shitty 1-1 that you were coping with that was becoming half useful because you think you were just going to...
Or just attack... Like, or 1 point
I was just
going
to ramp it up a bit with this thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've got to either get rid of it forever or that's going to be the next card I draw.
Yeah.
I suppose that's not the card you're going to use, but...
If you
just kind of knowing
this,
what card comes next sometimes.
It's not great. Because it's card advantage in a way, in that you're not drawing a new card. Yeah.
It's denying your opponent card advantage, so you get time, I guess.
Yeah, you get time.
You definitely get time.
To play Elspeth or fucking whatever.
Unless they had Stormbreath Dragon, in which case that's going on the top.
Yeah, Stormbreath Dragon going on the top. I'm going to attack you with it again next turn. So we'll see what happens.
But if it's monstrous, depends on what time the game.
I don't want you to lose that. Monstrous it again.
Yeah, there you go. It's a waste of a lot of mana. That's a tempo play, isn't it?
It's a tempo play.
Love it.
All right, Yesan.
Yesan.
Don't have to turn out a red light. Something like
that. Oh, Roxanne. Oh, yeah.
Yesan. No?
No.
She's a wandering bird. She's a wandering bird. I mean, bard.
It's a man.
Yesan, wandering bard.
Yes.
It's a man.
Yes.
This is Birthing Pod 2.0.
So, Yesan, wandering bard. What are his stats? I forget what his stats are. Look at his ability.
I believe he is a 2-3, but I'm going from memory.
I feel like he's a 2-3 for 2 and a green.
Let's not guess. Let's go to Kian. Let's go to Kian on the internet.
Yesan.
Yesan!
Sweet. I really hope that if I ever cast this card in Constructed, every time I play it, you come and say that.
Yeah, gonna have to do
you
that.
You don't have to turn on the red.
Legendary creature, human rogue. 3 mana, 2-3.
He's not a bard? It seems like he should be a bard.
I thought a wandering bard?
He's a wandering bard. Why isn't he a bard?
Is he a rogue
creature
now?
Type?
He's a bard rogue.
Ah, oh,
bard.
Okay. That's just bard.
His ability.
Yeah.
3 mana tap, put a verse counter. He's a bard, so you're putting a verse counter
sing
on him.
Sing song.
I see what you did there, wizards.
I have to do that every time I activate Yisan Wandering Bard.
Aaron Graham, the next Yisan Wandering Bard.
Ugh. Don't say that.
Basically, when you put a counter on him, you get to search for your library for a creature with converted mana cost equal to the number of counters on him.
Right. And what do you do with it when you find it?
Put it into play.
Oh, you put it straight into play.
Yeah. So
I love those sort of
Birthing Pod 2.0. So Birthing Pod is you sacrifice a creature from play and get a creature from your library that costs exactly one more than it.
Oh, yeah.
And that card is modern player, but it was huge in standard as well. It's one of the
ridiculous.
Best, yeah, one of the best modern decks. Yeah. And this is kind of reminiscent of that in that you're like each turn you're creating more and more powerful things into play. But one, Birthing Pod's an artifact. You can't kill it with kill spells. Two, Birthing Pod, you can turn a 5 into a 6 drop as soon as you play it. A 4 into a 5, a 3 into a 2. Yisan, you have to pay 2 and a green, get a shitty 1 drop out of your deck. Yeah. Next turn, untap, get a shitty 2 drop out of your deck. Next turn, untap, I get a okay 3 drop out of your deck. It's never going to like do the crazy explosive stuff that Birthing Pod did.
Okay.
So
if there are really, really good 1 drops and 2 drops, he's okay.
Yeah.
Like, if you... We haven't seen a very good 1-drop at the moment, which you would want to get with him. But, like, a really good 2-drop is, like, Voice of Resurgence. That card's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
So just instant speed Voice of Resurgence is pretty good. Like, you can't complain about that. But it does cost 3 mana to play Voice of Resurgence out of your deck. Like, it's nothing to sneeze at. And so I'm saying, like, it's good to have a look at him, but you have to see what 1s and 2s you're getting. Because that's how long he's going to survive before he dies. Yeah.
In a world of Black Devotion where Doomblade, Hero's Downfall, Devour Flesh, those cards exist, he may not stick around for long. And if he doesn't stick around for long, are you okay with 1s and 2s?
Yeah. Okay. Life's Legacy. Any good? Legacy.
So this is 1 and a green sorcery. Yeah. As an additional cost to play it, sacrifice a creature. It's already bad.
Right.
Sacrifice a creature. Draw cards equal to its power.
Draw card. Okay. What? Hang on. What is this? This is a green card.
It's a green sorcery.
Reads like a blue.
It's strange.
Is that right?
Green.
More of a black. Maybe more of a black.
It's more of a black card.
Yeah,
I would
say.
But is it draw cards equal to its toughness?
Power.
Okay. So.
Well, that would be better in green.
So green is like known for being able to draw cards sometimes, but generally stuff to do with the creatures that you control. So it's useless if you don't have any creatures. Garruk Primal Hunter's -3 was this ability. Draw cards.
Except that you could respond to it.
You can't respond to this one.
With old Garruk, you could kill the creature and then they would draw less cards.
Yeah.
So whatever the highest power creature when it resolved, that was how many cards you drew.
Could you sack one of Garruk's 4/4
3/3
beasts?
You usually have a 3/3 from him to at least draw 3. But like, you know, I buff creatures with spells and stuff.
You don't want to sack one of those guys though. Beef someone up and then go, I'm going to kill it so I can get 5 cards.
That's the thing.
I got
with
a 5/5. I don't want to get rid
of
it.
Yeah, like that's the thing with this card. I feel like you have to have either very efficient creatures with very high power that like you don't mind dying to draw 5. Like, how many cards do you want to be drawing with this before it replaces you just killed a creature of yours that wasn't going to die?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's use Polukranos as a good example.
Sure.
Because I think this is a creature that you may actually want to sacrifice because he's legendary. So if you have another one in your hand, you may want to be like, cool, I'm okay with getting rid of this so I can play the other one.
Yeah, draw 5
cards. That's good points.
Yeah. So you're paying 6 mana, because the cost of Polukranos and Life's Legacy, to draw 5. That's pretty good.
Blue is
currently paying 6 mana with Sphinx of Revelation to draw 3.
Okay, there are 24 other creatures in your deck that aren't Polukranos. What happens when you draw Life's Legacy then?
Yeah.
Scavenger Goose. Scavenging Ooze is being blocked by a horde of Elspeth tokens. You need to draw your Stormbreath Dragon. All right, yeah, okay, I can see that.
It just, it has some options and it could be exciting. And as someone who's cast Goreclam Rampager for its Blood Rush quite a lot, the idea of, like, attacking you with my Courser, killing your Planeswalker, and then be like, I'm going to draw six.
Yeah, Blood Rush from Gatecrash, where you discard a creature card to give it an attacking creature the creature's power and toughness when it's attacking. So Goreclam Rampager, +4/+4 and trample until end of turn. That only costs 2 mana to do that. Mm. So when your second main phase, after you attack with it, yeah, like you said, kill their Planeswalker or whatever, draw 6 cards from sacking your Courser of Kryphix. Definitely not bad. It's got some applications. Again, it's one of those weird ones. It's difficult to see how it's going to play.
I think it would be better if it was toughness. Because if it was toughness, late game, you could just be like, oh, I don't need my Sylvan Caryatid anymore. Sack it, draw 3.
Oh, draw 3 when it's useless.
Yeah. Harder to do, though, in the second main, though, because your toughness could be, you know, whatever toughness it is, it could be down to 1, but you know, after it's had a fight with something, right?
Oh, no.
Even though your toughness...
Yeah, when creatures go into combat, say a 2-2 fights a 2-3, the 2-3's toughness doesn't actually change. It's still 3 toughness with 2 damage marked on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, gotcha.
One of the games doesn't do that. When you play Jewels of the Planeswalkers, it changes the creature's toughness, but that's not the actual rule. So new players have come into the store and been confused about that one.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know that.
That's weird.
Okay, to finish off the rares, Act on Impulse.
This isn't actually a rare.
Oh,
sorry.
It's uncommon.
Uncommon.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, maybe we pause.
And Kian were having a very interesting discussion about this guy. I think this is one of the last ones we'll talk
this
about.
This is the last one, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything to do with deodorant?
Yes.
So when you spray deodorant on yourself and women throw themselves at you, that's what this card
They're
is.
Acting on impulse.
They're acting on... Yeah, oh, impulse is the ladies' deodorant.
Yeah, but no, that could work. You could spray
so
a ladies' deodorant and their ladies would jump on you right. Because they're into women's
smells.
I'll
give it a go this weekend. I'll tell you how it goes.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that.
I'll tell your girlfriend that.
No, don't.
No, we'll...
Okay, Act on Impulse is
possibly my favorite card in this set.
That's weird.
No, it's not, Ken. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay, so Active Impulse is 2 mana red sorcery.
3 mana altogether.
Yes. Exile the top 3 cards of your library.
That's terrible. Why would you play that?
You may cast them this turn.
You may play those cards this turn.
Sorry, play them this turn.
For what cost?
For their regular cost.
For their regular mana cost.
So it's kind of like red card
draw. How much mana are you supposed to have?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the thing. Kian, we've been discussing this one all week. I think the card is balls.
Yeah.
it's Kian's favorite card in the set. Okay, so my point.
3 mana.
You pay 3 mana.
Yeah.
You exile the top 3.
Which is potentially do nothing.
Which is potentially nothing, sure. You don't want to be casting it on turn 3, because that will do
exactly.
nothing.
Exactly. So how late in the game is this card coming out?
Let's give a hypothetical... Let's say 10-6.
10-6.
You play a 6th land. Oh, no, I guess you have to play a 6th land.
You have to, otherwise it's not going to be good.
Statistically, the things that you're likely to get...
Yeah.
3 mana. You've used 3 of your 6 mana.
Yeah.
The 3 things you're going to turn over are land.
Land, yeah.
A creature that costs
2, 3, 4,
and like a spell, maybe another act on impulse.
Yeah,
I'm going to start comboing off here.
Yeah,
a card which is very dependent on what's going on with the board. Yeah, you know, like
a shock, a lightning
it's like
strike.
Destroy creature. You don't have any creatures. It's like, oh, okay.
So this is where this card's really weird. So red doesn't get card draw at all. Like
it still hasn't, because you're not going to play this card. But
you've got Prophetic Flamespeaker and Chandra at the moment. Chandra has seen a little bit of play because she gives red decks some extra cards. And Prophetic Flamespeaker hasn't done anything yet, but I'm still hopeful.
Now these cards are getting, when you draw them off the top, they're going to be exiled, or they go to your graveyard.
They're exiled.
So
if
right.
you don't cast them this turn, they're gone for good.
Likewise. All right, but that's going to hurt too badly. You run out of land. You run out of. You're going to see those cards that you want at a different time. Are they going to come or they're going to go?
Well, so the thing that I think gives this card some potential is Divination. Very good card. Lots of people have cast it. It's draw 2 for 3 mana.
Yeah.
And if it was draw 3, that'd be way too good.
But they go into your hand.
Yeah, obviously that's
these
different.
Ones just go into Exile World.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
So, I have played a fair amount of control and a fair amount of aggro.
Are you talking about magic now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's make
in
sure.
In the bedroom.
Yeah.
The bedroom is
a
sweet.
Yeah, a lot of control.
What's playing aggro in the bedroom?
Oh, Aaron will talk about that later.
I'll show you later, Mr. Graham.
Ah! Yeah. Touch my leg.
Put away the penny whistle.
That's your rape whistle.
Oh!
Kian's acting on impulse. I'm still not won over by it. But
okay,
let's...
I think the inherent thing is that Prophetic Flamespeaker, powerful, undoubtedly. Chandra Pyromaster's Zero ability, powerful, undoubtedly. They do similar things to Act on Impulse, but you can do them when you have all your mana untapped. Act on Impulse, you need to pay 3 mana for it. It's like, take the amount of lands you have, minus 3, then you can get those things.
How many times have you played Control where you're like, I really need to hit my fourth land drop right now, and you would do anything to hit it?
Oh, am I playing Act on Impulse so that in the situation where I'm on turn 4, I want to hit my fourth land drop so I can play Supreme Verdict on turn 4?
Yeah, but I've been in Control situations where I'm like, I'm sitting with Jace and Supreme Verdict and D-Sphere in my hand, and I just need an extra land to get it working.
Hang on.
And this card can do that.
Can I go Act on Impulse? I draw my 3 cards. One of them's a land. I can put the land out?
If you haven't played a land yet.
Okay, so will you do that in the right time? You'll play your land.
It means turn 4. You're tapping 3 mana to play a land.
I know.
That's not in your hand already.
And if you don't play a land from your hand, you don't get a land, then you can't spend it on the card that you just drew. Yeah. So you have to play the land first. So that means you can never play a land from Act and Impulse.
I think maybe in Control decks, it's decent because it's draw 3 until end of turn.
Yeah. So,
but
crazy
you play
in the brain,
it as like
Aaron.
A 1 or a 2 of, so that late game when you have 10 mana, even then, you can only play out 1 Elspeth. You can play 1...
Okay, so the other home for this is Burn, or very heavy red.
This I understand, yeah.
So red Burn decks are cropping up at the moment.
Now you're
coming
into the right price range.
Yeah, this is right.
Have been playing Wild Guess. So 2 red mana.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, they
really?
Have. Like, a couple of weeks ago, a red Burn deck won a major tournament at Starcity Open.
I'd almost forgotten about that card. I can remember the picture in my head, like,
just
never
like
play this card.
Going towards a hole.
Square hole.
It's like, as an additional cost, discard a card.
And then
draw
two
cards.
So, as an additional cost, announce to the tournament that you played this card in your deck and sit while they point and laugh.
They're like,
but then win the tournament.
You're going to be on camera for the next match. You're like, oh shit, I can't cast Wild Guess. The world will know.
Sideboard.
Yeah. Thought sees you. Oh no, scoop.
I can't let you see what I've got. That'd be great.
Shit.
Oh man.
Yeah, so Red decks have been so starved for drawing effects that they're playing this terrible one.
Yeah.
I've never even cast in Limited.
I think I cast... No, I don't.
If you're playing a red deck, you know, you're not about drawing cards. I mean, it's always an advantage, but it's not now.
But I guess the red deck runs out of gas, you know? Like, you know, you draw too many mountains instead of creatures and you die. So I guess in this it's like... Wild Guess is discard a mountain, draw maybe 2 spells to throw at their face.
You're there on 3 life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got no burn spells.
Yeah.
You've got 6 mana. You play this looking for just that jaggy 3.
Lightning Strike.
I mean,
Chandra's Phoenix, something.
Yeah, you're looking.
Any of the cards in your deck are going to do it from there. Like, and that's what this card could be. Like, it could be a 2 of in the burn deck where it's like, this is the reach I need and now I've got it.
Mm-hmm. I really like that they're doing this for red, because red has been a very pigeonholed color for a while, and then it's just like, what does red do? Oh, it burns stuff.
But when you just put another burn card in your deck instead of this, and then you would actually have it in your hand rather than the stupid Act on Impulse.
Yeah, like...
It's just taken up a spot.
The problem is that if they're on 6, you have 6 lands because it's turn 8 or whatever, and like you've used every card you've got to get them to this low point, and then you're like... I draw a Lightning Strike.
Oh, so every time you draw a card that's not a thing to kill them, they're drawing a card that could be a Sphinx's Rev. And so you go, Act on Impulse, kill you now, instead of giving them 2 or 3 more draw steps. where you could have drawn that burn spell. It's niche.
It's something that Wizards I'm not completely has not convinced. Done before.
I think we've spent enough time. But so we could throw it out to the listeners. Maybe they'll get back to us and tell us what they think.
What do you think about Act on Impulse? I'm very interested. If it's a 4-of in a Pro Tour winning deck, I'll give Kian a little present.
Yeah. I have pre-ordered 4 foils.
Flavor text. Here we are playing flavor text. It feels like a month or so. We didn't play.
It was like forever.
We didn't do it last time. No, we didn't do it last time. It was just you and me. Yeah.
Two months without flavor text.
Are you prepared to lose, Aaron Graham?
I don't think so. Because Aaron knows everything about every card ever.
I've never said that, but printed. Yeah. It's true.
He said it.
I'm pretty sure you've said that to me many times.
Yeah. It's been on one of the podcasts where you said
I don't know what you mean.
All right. Flavor text. I read out some text with flavor. And it's not about how I read it. It's
salt
about what's on the card.
And vinegar.
Yeah.
Is that flavor text?
I read out the flavor text on the card. For you listeners, those are the bits in italics that no one reads. But are usually quite entertaining when you look at them in context of the picture. So, and these guys have to write down and keep hidden, like schoolboys in an exam, what their answers are. Okay. So flavor text number one.
Is there a theme to this week's?
Oh, I'm not going to say anything about a theme. No. Well, maybe later.
Dave loves his themes.
All right, you ready? This is the first flavor text I say as I try to hide it under the table. If it comes for you, die boldly or die swiftly. For die you will.
If it comes for you...
I can't read it as well as that again.
So, if
it comes for you, die boldly or die swiftly. For die... you will.
Do I get points for guessing its color?
No.
Die, you will.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Well, that's good. I think I've got them stumped already. This is great.
Is it Yoda?
No, that was early on. Go back to
Yoda,
the introduction.
Wandering Bard.
Go back to the introduction for Yoda.
Shit.
Okay. Flavor text number two.
Hold on, I'm writing down my answer.
Yeah. Okay, well, you better listen. You ready? Swifter than an angel, crueler than a demon, and relentless as a ghoul. I just like have any card that has ghoul.
Ghoul.
Oh. Swifter than an angel, crueler than a demon, and relentless as a ghoul.
I have an answer. It's probably not the right one.
Aaron's looking lost.
I've never been this... Oh my god, I'm completely stumped.
It's because we had a month
it's
off.
Just too, yeah, I've yeah. been reading every card when I go home and your just read text, every single magic card ever printed.
Your flavor text muscle has withered. It's atrophied.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Oh, I'm not going to... You're confident,
so
are you, Ken? You've got something? You're not confident? I can give you a clue that these are all part of the same kind of... era of card. Not set, but...
Okay, all right. Okay.
All right.
Very helpful, Dave.
Yeah. And there is a theme, of course.
Oh, there is.
So if you get
I've got it now.
If you got one, you might get there.
Okay.
All right,
here
you ready?
Here we go.
Their hearts beat, their lungs draw breath, and they have one true form. I count them as allies of the living. And that was said by Thalia, Knight Cathar. That was a quote. Their hearts beat, their lungs draw breath, and they have one true form. I count them as allies of the living. Thalia, Knight Cathar.
I never drafted Innistrad, so I didn't know what you're doing.
Innistrad?
Whoa. Whoa, are you crazy?
How do you know that's Innistrad? Oh, are you giving it away? Oh. Well, now you know what the groupings could be. Did you want any of those again?
No. Okay, so the first one, let's just break it down. I've got two options.
Well, no,
die quickly or die boldly. Which one would I choose?
If it comes for you, die boldly or die swiftly. For die you will. Yeah.
You hear that, Aaron? You're gonna die.
I'm gonna die.
Aaron's going down in flavor text.
I've lost it.
All right. Well, let's get straight to the answers then, eh? Remember. Keep your wits about you, because as the theme emerges...
Okay, yeah, cool. All right.
You might be able to make some last-minute changes.
Here we go.
So, the first one, which you just read, if it comes for you, die boldly or die swiftly, for die you will. Aaron, what have you got? tastes like sweet nothing.
It is. Scarbruinator.
Scarbruinator.
I have a guess.
Yeah, go keen.
But I know it's not it.
Is it wild guess?
Why guess? You just make a fool of yourself.
Oreskes Swiftclaw.
That's not it.
Because it has Swift in the name. That's it. Swift.
What release was Oreskes Swiftclaw from?
Journey into Dixon.
Yeah. And
M15.
Yeah. And M15. And what's the last one that you said was from? Innistrad
Block.
No. If it comes for you, die boldly, die or die swiftly, for die you will, is Balefire Dragon from Innistrad.
I don't even know what that card is.
Balefire Dragon is five
creature
red
dragon.
Red.
Yeah, so it's five red. It's a creature, it's dragon, it's a 6/6. It flies. Whenever Balefire Dragon deals combat damage to a player, it deals that much damage to each creature that player controls.
That's so insane.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The good old days.
What rarity? What set was that?
I couldn't print them out in color this week, so I can't remember.
Innistrad.
Oh, okay.
Innistrad Mythic Rare.
Yeah.
Why did I never play with that in standard?
It's a 7 mana for a 6/6 doesn't have haste. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Swifter than an angel, crueler than a demon, and relentless as a ghoul. What do you got, Aaron?
Moonveil Dragon.
What have you got, Kian?
Is the answer pro player Louis Scott Vargas?
I think someone's already done that, gang. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Okay. Aaron, you are incorrect.
Oh, am I correct, Dave?
No, you're not. I wasn't even going to acknowledge it for this. No. It was Archwing Dragon.
Oh, dick!
From Mavison Restored. He's a 2 red flying
haste
creature dragon. 4/4 dragon. The beginning of the end step. Return Archwing Dragon to its owner's hand. So, yeah. Lots of wings, lots of dragony bits. Okay. I'm not saying anything about the theme.
Oh, God.
Okay. Here we go. Have you got the theme so far?
Dragons.
Yeah.
It could be. All right, here we go. Their hearts beat, their lungs draw breath, and they have one true form. I count them as allies of the living. Old Talia or Thalia. Knight Cathar. What have you got, Aaron? What are you going for?
Moonveil Dragon.
That saves me writing down anything else. All right. The score so far for people playing at home is 0-0 in the pod.
Fuck.
We have 0-0. Right. Kian.
My guess is a card that doesn't have any flavor text on it. Thundermaw Hellkite.
Oh, no. Does it have?
No,
it doesn't.
It's too much text.
Too much text.
All right. The answer is Moonveil Dragon.
Yes! Yes!
No way.
Oh, out of the flaming ashes of a dragon breathed on village. It's Aaron with the win.
Oh,
after all that trash talk.
My heart is pounding. Oh, my goodness.
And Kian failing to do the whole just come up with any kind of bullshit. You knew that Thundermaw Hellkite didn't have it. Just copy Aaron.
Yeah, but it was my favorite dragon.
Yeah, I know. I was disappointed. Oh, wow.
So I have a flavor text for Aaron.
Okay.
My personal favorite flavor text of a card ever.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Do it.
Mr. Graham.
Yeah.
The goblin word for flying is more literally translated as falling slowly.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I feel like we should have...
Goblin with wings or like a hang glider or something like that?
There's one that's similar. There's a card called Goblin Balloon Brigade. And the picture is a bunch of goblins in a balloon, but the balloon is an inflated toad.
Yeah.
And the flavor text is, quick, inflate the toad.
What was that one where there were something... I changed it to expletives, wasn't it? But it was something explosive. You know when they were catapulting the goblins? Was it called fling?
Goblin cannoneers. Or something.
No, it was something.
Goblin Cannonade. It's a 4 mana artifact. I have one.
I don't think it's that name. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was in, I think it was in M14.
M14? And it flings goblins or something?
Yeah.
There is a card
Come
fling.
Back to that. Yeah. I can't remember now. Yeah. But it's not that, is it?
So it is one of only 2 goblin cards, to my knowledge, that have flying.
There's one that's a. There's a 2 and a red. There's a 1/2 goblin with flying. It's Goblin Hang Glider or like Goblin Paraglider or something.
You're very close, Mr. Graham.
Goblin Kite
Guy.
Flyer Man.
Sadly,
No. What is it?
Goblin Sky Raider.
It's a 1-2 with flying for 2 and a red. What the fuck? Why does that card exist? So bad.
All right.
Onslaught.
That's cool.
Where cards were bad.
My favorite flavor text is is called Werebear, and it's 1 in a green for a 2-2, and it's just a bear with like really big arms, and they look like man's arms, and the flavor text is, he has the right to bear arms.
Oh man.
Wizards.
I love that one. That's a good one. So the theme of your flavor text, David, was Innistrad block dragons.
Just dragons, yeah.
Just dragons.
It turned out to be Innistrad block dragons. Yeah.
I guess Moonveil. I guess that was the theme.
Yeah.
And then
you immediately guessed Moonveil dragon for the rest of the answers.
Because I forgot. I was like, "What's the dragon in Avacyn Restored?" And it's Archwing Dragon because there's only one in each one. Yeah. Ah, that was a good one. Oh. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, you won. So you won. The scores are 1, Aaron, 0, Ken.
Ah.
All right. Okay, well, we're back with the MTG card quiz to finish that off. But first, we'll knock over some M15 spoilers, part 2. Limited play. And we're going to talk mainly about sealed now.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, what color am I wanting to play come M15?
So they look fairly balanced. It was difficult. M14, blue was clearly the best. It had card draw, it had bounce spells, it had good flying creatures, it had good tempo.
I discovered blue in M14.
Blue came into its own in that core set.
And white was terrible.
White was so bad. All of the white creatures were like 1/1s with shitty abilities. And then there was Sarah Angel and Pacifism and like Master of Diversion. And that was it in white.
Mm.
In this one, it looks a lot more balanced. There's good things in every color. White's got good removal. Blue has good flyers and some tempo and good. It's got counter spells and stuff. Black has the removal spells and, again, efficient flyers. Red has a lot of burn this time. A lot of good burn.
Excited.
And aggressively costed creatures. And green just looks good across the board. Again, not heaps of interaction, but a lot of good convoke stuff. But best color off the bat...
For sealed. Yeah.
I think black. This is not going with the pre-release promos because that's not what a majority of people are going to be playing sealed with. But the... Black just overall has a good mix of removal spells. It's got Ulcerate, which is target creature gets -3/-3, you lose 3 life. It's got Flesh to Dust, which is destroy target creature, it can't be regenerated for 5 mana.
Go on, say it.
Yeah.
What's it got? Okay, keep going. Go on, say it. one of my favorite cards for drafting. But
it doesn't have Doomblade.
No,
there's no Doomblade.
No, this is about me liking this card.
This is about you.
This is historically, I once got 3 of these in a...
Oh, Stab Wound.
Stab Wound.
Oh,
fuck
me. Yeah. I love me some Stab Wound.
Yeah, that's so much fun.
Jesus Christ. Not looking forward to playing against the decks that have multiple Stab Wounds.
Yeah.
And then it's
Stab
got...
Wound you?
And then it's got very efficient flyers.
Stab wound. Oh, I'll have to remove that, or I'll have to sack that
creature.
Okay, I'll stab wound this other guy over here.
Yeah, it's just got very efficient flyers. It's got Carrion Crow, which is a 2/2 flying, comes into play tapped. It's got Necrogen Scudder,
Carrion Flyer?
2/2 flyer for 3 mana, just comes into play tapped.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's fine. Black doesn't usually get that kind of thing. It also has Necrogen Scudder, which is a 3/3 flyer for
Typhoid
3.
Rats, which is quite nice.
Oh, yeah. So you can gum up the ground with Death Touch guys. And it even has Gravedigger, which is a 2/2 creature for 4 mana. Get a creature from your graveyard back to your hand when it comes into play.
Woof.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's so good. But it's been out of core sets for the last few years because it's really good and limited. Stupidly good. And they've brought it back in uncommon rather than common. So I think black just looks good across the board. It's going to play defense. It's going to play aggro. It's looking sweet. And it's got good removal spells too.
I'm most excited for white. So I don't think white is the best color, but it's going to be my favorite. Mm-hmm. Because white has the most straightforward removal. So...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other colors have deal damage or -3/-3 or whatever, whereas all the white removal is generally based around combat, like Binding Light. It's not Binding Light, it's Banishing Light. No, that's...
Devouring Light.
Devouring Light.
It's a mixture of Banishing Light and Devour Flesh.
There's no more light.
We're running out of it.
Yeah. Delicious light.
So I'm just really excited for that. And they've also got the 1-mana spell from Theros that you have to pay 3 to...
Oppressive Rays.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of just really... really early interaction, really low creatures. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of tokens as well. Something we haven't mentioned is the returning mechanic that they bring back every year in the core set is Convoke.
Convoke.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
So Convoke is very interesting. They've changed the text to say, your creatures can help to cast this spell. Each creature you tap while casting a spell reduces its cost by either one colorless or one of that creature's color.
Okay.
So if you play a green Convoke spell, you can reduce either its colorless or its green by tapping a green creature, or you can reduce its colorless by tapping any other color creature.
So which ones are the scariest ones? Which ones are we looking for?
So there's two which you can play on defense when you have no mana untapped.
These are so scary.
This is fucking scary. Because you attack with impunity if they've got no mana. You can't do that anymore because they have Crowd's Favor, which is one red mana. Target creature gets +1/+0 on first strike until end of turn. Convoke. So if you tap, if you're defending with a red creature and have no mana untapped, you can block with the creature, then tap it for the red mana for the Convoke spell, and then your creature gets +1/+0 on first strike. That's going to blow out combat. Like, they have no mana untapped, and you're like, attack with my 3/3 into your 2/3, and they're like, block with it. Crowds favor this guy by tapping the creature for mana, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? Like, it's just like, you get used
that
to
that. That is interesting, isn't it? Because you're so used to just going, you check, no untapped mana, and you know, all the mana's tapped.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's a free hit, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. It will be the thing that distinguishes between the good players and the bad players. Like, the good players will know when to play around these cards and when to not. The bad players are always going to play into them.
Yeah.
Like when they've got no cards in their hand.
Attack.
No, the crowd's favor.
The other one being Gather Courage, which is one green target creature gets +2/+2.
Very similar thing. They block your... you attack with a 3/3 or a 4/4 even. You block with your 2/2 green creature, tap it for mana, give it +2/+2 to end of turn, and they'll trade. Like, it's just scary that... So say I, like, tap out on my turn for a green creature. You can tap creatures even when they have summoning sickness. So I tap out for a green creature, say it's a 5/3, and they're like, cool, I'll lightning strike that. You can tap the creature to play Gather Courage, give it +2/+2.
Yeah.
Denied.
It's pretty scary.
Is there a Convoke... Is there one Convoke card for each color? Is that that sort of thing?
There's
like
Convoke.
A cycle thing?
It's mostly focused in white and green, which are the creature
white,
colors.
White, green, and black.
White, green, and black,
yeah.
which will have the most creatures generally.
Yeah.
But there's also the red... It just means that the red Convoke cards are very strong. The
red one is my favorite.
Yeah. There's an uncommon called Stoke the Flames, which is 2 red, 4 damage to target creature or player with Convoke.
Yeah.
It just means you can just... get 4 damage out of there really quickly. You can cast another spell like a creature and then stoke the flames at their face or a creature or something. So it's just like, it's versatile in that you can play the spells up and down the curve. Like, you can think of the Convoke cards as costing 0 to 4 mana, like in this case, Stoke the Flames.
Mm.
If you have 4 creatures out, you can play Stoke the Flames for free, see what they do in their turn, bam, Stoke the Flames, like and play another spell in that turn. So yeah, it's powerful. Convoke's a powerful and interesting mechanic that we're going to see.
And another reprint in M15, which really helps it, is Raise the Alarm. So 1 mana white, put 2/1/1 white soldier tokens onto the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the Convoke spells are in white, and you just randomly... play 2 guys and have 2 free mana.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote.
Have we done Devouring Light?
Oh, we mentioned it a little bit before.
So tell us what it is.
1 white for an instant exile target attacking or blocking creature.
Right.
Which is fucking scary.
Yeah.
Also, could be very good and constructed because if you play Elspeth, tick it up. Oh, look, you have 3 white guys.
Yeah.
Off-color activation cycle.
This is a very awkward name for a very elegant
off-color
cycle.
Off-color activation
of
cycle. The OCAC.
The OCAC.
As the politicians like to say. The OCACs.
So OCACs. We have a full
use
cycle.
It like it's a thing now.
So OCACs.
OCACs, yeah. We're all up
so everyone knows
that.
About
the
OCACs.
Let's go through
them quickly. They've all got stupid names. They're like 3-barreled names.
Yeah.
Dauntless River Marshal.
Dauntless River Marshal.
Sounds I don't like MacGyver. Know
how to let's read them all. Dauntless River Marshal, Jorubai Merc Lurker.
There's some words.
Nightfire Giant, Curd Chieftain, and Sunblade Elf. So these are all creatures.
Sunblade Elf just sounds like a card. The rest of them are ridiculous.
The rest of them are stupid. Jorakai.
He's probably
Merc
feeling
Lurker.
Bad. Sunblade Elf Marshal. Sunblade Elf
Fella.
Cowgirl.
Guy. So all of these are creatures that are not great stats by themselves. So the white one, let's take as an example. One and a white, Dauntless River Marshal. He's a 2/1. He gets +1/+1 if you control an island. So let's go clockwise around the color wheel.
Yeah.
The white one requires you to have an island to get +1/+1. Blue one requires a swamp and so forth. They all get +1/+1. And then they're very aggressively costed creatures.
Yeah.
The white one is a 3/2 for two if you have an island out. The blue one's a 2/4.
3/2 for two.
2/4.
3/2 for two.
If you control an island.
Oh, if you control an island. Oh, all right.
The blue and then they all have an activated ability of the color that you require for it to get +1/+1. So the let's go with the white one again.
Yeah,
so it's a 3/2. I've got two planes and an island out. It's a 3/2 for two mana. I can pay three and a blue to tap target creature as many times as I want. Doesn't have to tap or anything. Late game, it's going to be good. Like Thassa's Ire. Like, they're all kind of marginal abilities.
Because that's it. Late game, effects, is that a late game card, though? You know? It's like a 3/2.
The effects are not cheap, but they're just the icing on the cake. They're the thing that, like, you're going to use.
I'm still happy with the 3/2 for 2/2. It's 3/2 for 2. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. In M14, they had... in M13, they had these cards, but backwards. So the blue one had a white activation, but they could only activate on themselves. So the blue one was called Arctic Aven. It was a 2/1 with flying that got +1/+1 if you had a planes, and then it could give itself lifelink. These can all affect other creatures. So the white one taps a creature. The blue one gives target creature lifelink. The black one is insane. It's 2 damage to target creature or player.
I'm
for
going to
5
lose
mana.
To that card.
That card's really
lot.
Good. So it's a 4/3 for 5 mana. It becomes a 5/4 if you control a mountain as well. And then you can start shocking stuff with your excess mana that you got left over. Uncommon. These are all uncommon cards. Very strong. Very strong.
A good thing to bear in mind about M15 is they've increased the amount of uncommons by 20. Mm-hmm. So the frequency with which you used to see old commons, uncommons in bigger sets, is going to go down.
Okay.
So, uncommon,
so what you said, the uncommons have gone up by 20, or the commons?
Yeah,
the
uncommons.
And they've said they've done that to make limited play more rewarding long-term.
And diverse.
Yeah, so usually you build around uncommons is the main power of your deck is there, and you're going to be building around different ones every time you draft. So I'm glad with that change, but it means we're not going to see half of these for like a month.
Yeah.
You could open 20 draft packs and never see some of these cards, and someone plays it, you're like, what? What's it?
I was so excited to play Spiteful Returned. It never came up. Raven Swanland card, never saw it once. And that was just
coming from a small set. You've got one boost, you're like, Spiteful Returned. No, it's not there.
Yeah,
Spiteful Returned, not there next draft. You do 20 drafts, never see it.
Okay. So getting near the end of the card review, just here. You know, what kind of removal can I look forward to playing in M15?
Yes. Very
stab wound you.
Oh, yeah. Stab
love that. We love a bit of stab wound.
So we're looking at the premium removal in each color, which is pretty much when you build sealed deck, you're looking at obviously your bombs and your removal. And then as long as you've got a good amount of creatures to be attacking and blocking with, really the crux of it's your removal. You're not going to get a bomb every time you open a sealed deck. So premium removal, Lightning Strike back in from Theros, 3 damage to target creature or player for 1 and a red, can deal the last 3 damage you need to their face, can get rid of those utility creatures that are tapping your stuff down and everything. Lightning Strike looks like it's going to be good in this set, along with the other one that we talked about before, Stoke the Flames. I think they're going to be the backbone of the red decks.
Yeah. Also, the spell that deals 3 damage to one creature, 2 damage to another, and
oh, one. God, I forgot about that one. There's a card called Cone of Flame.
Right.
It is like a cone of flame. 3 red for a sorcery.
As a narrow end and a wide end.
Yeah,
right.
3 damage to a creature or player, 2 damage to a different creature or player, 1 damage to another creature or player. So you need...
Really good card.
It's ridiculous. So
how much does that cost?
Five.
Five?
Yeah. Okay. So you got to tap out for it, but you could get a 3-for-1 for that really easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
In that situation where you were attacking me with a 1-1, a 2-2, and a 3-3...
Yeah, you set that up, I think, so that you could say this now.
All of my mana on my turn and just wipe your whole board. What are you going to do about that?
Yeah, flesh to dust?
Flesh to dust. This is the unfortunately this is the doom blade of the set.
Yeah.
Just three black instant destroy target creature. It can't be regenerated.
Three black for just
five mana to kill something.
I'm kind of glad it's not doom blade.
Oh yeah. Doom blade was uncommon in the last core set. Yeah.
And it was still very good.
Really good.
Is that the same cost? Super Hemlock was five, wasn't it?
Six.
Right. And sorcery.
Oh, so this is instant.
So this is an instant, which is good.
Yeah. Much better. Yeah. Especially because there's a small enchantment sub-theme. So getting that instant thing, they're like, oh, I'll enchant my guy. And you're like, oh, five mana, kill it.
And it's just creature.
Card in black that you might actually be able to cast earlier than that Covenant of Blood.
Mm-hmm.
7 converted mana cost, but it has Convoke.
Oh, okay.
Deal 4 damage to target creature or player, you gain 4 life.
Oh, that's sweet, actually. That's awesome. Thinking about Convoke... it's pretty easy for you to have two creatures in play.
Yeah.
Pass the turn with five mana untapped, and then
this one's a sorcery.
Oh, it's a sorcery. Okay, I'm out. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, we've talked about planeswalkers. There is there anything that's knocking planeswalkers over?
Just, I think you just off the top. Oh, the old fashioned way. Just attack them with creatures. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's,
you
that's
can lightning. You can lightning strike them, but
no dread boring them.
No
dread
boring.
That's going as well. So planeswalkers are going to be pretty tough to get rid of, especially those high loyalty guys.
Exactly. Jace comes into play. Goes up to 6 first time it comes out. Yeah. Nissa goes up to 5 first time it comes out. Like in most sets, planeswalkers are going to be very difficult to deal with in this core set. It's not really equipped to deal with them.
Heat Ray. Is that a guy you know?
Heat Ray. He draws the heat. He's a bit of a crook. Heat Ray, a reprint from Rise of the Eldrazi, where it was first printed.
Yeah.
X and red, deal X damage to target creature. So this one, obviously got to pay 5 mana to kill a 4-4, but it just means that you can... Bam, kill a utility guy on turn 2 if you need to for just X and a red. And then later on you can kill their big dragon or big bomb with a big heat ray for 6 or 7 or whatever.
Beautiful.
You can't do it to players though. Don't forget that one.
Yeah,
Otherwise the card would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not strictly a removal spell, but it will be used in that way a lot. Turn to frog. One,
right,
one blue.
I sense a token coming on.
It's one in a blue. 2 mana.
Is it going to be a frog wearing like medieval armor or something or Roman
centurion
armor?
It's a frog in a collapsed robe, like you just turn some fella.
They've just scribbled out the boar's face and drawn a frog there instead.
Yeah. Basically, a creature becomes a 1/1 frog until end of turn. Loses all abilities as well. So if someone's attacking you, you can turn it into a frog and then block.
Yeah.
So suddenly your 2/2 is killing their
squashed
big 4/4 or whatever.
Yeah.
So not strictly a removal spell, but it will do that a lot.
It's going to function as a removal spell. Yeah.
I
think my favorite things are like, oh, Soul of Ravnica.
Ribbit.
Next turn, like, attack.
Six comes, and then six, you're
like,
six, six.
Turn it into a frog, block it with my 2/2, and they're like,
because it does lose flying.
Yeah, it just loses all of its abilities.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay, so to finish off with the M15 spoilers, what's the big difference to the Theros block?
Yeah, so we've been very used to this Theros block, and Theros block, for anyone that's only been playing draft and limited with Theros block, it's weird. Like, Theros block has a focus on combat tricks, targeting your guys with spells from your hand, enchantments, bestow,
building a mountain
really
of cards.
Yeah, building a huge mountain of creatures.
Yeah.
Not a normal limited set. This one...
is this a return to the norm as opposed to...
This is more
of
a return to the norm.
Not as much as previous core sets, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of tricks, like Turn to Frog, that rely on combat.
Yeah.
More so than previous core sets or sets.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of halfway between Theros and, say, Return to Ravnica.
So still trusting the players that they're reasonably savvy now, that maybe the Magic community is getting a little bit more... and maturing a little bit.
Yeah, because it's not just like, I play a creature, I Doomblade it, I play a creature, I Lightning Bolt it. It's kind of like you have to... A lot of limited play comes down to the combat step nowadays. So you've got to use your tricks... very carefully. If they have a removal spell, you're going to get 2-for-1 to lose on the back of it.
Yeah.
So, there's a slight enchantment sub theme in this one, but it's all stuff that kind of replaces itself a little bit.
Enchantments are definitely better than they have been in the past, but they're not as good as, say, like Dragon Mantle, where you get to cantrip.
Yeah, well, like you're not drawing a card every time you target your guy, or like getting buffed so it's out of burn range and stuff. That's just not normal for limited sets. So, you're still focused on the combat step. You're going to play one or two tricks, but not like five combat tricks like you would in Theros, and where every pack is like, oh, which combat trick do I take? +2/+2 and untap, or +2/+2 and scry one? That's quite uncharacteristic of Magic sets. So we've got to make sure that we know creature combat, very important, because there's not heaps of removal in every color. You still got to save your removal for the big bombs and stuff, especially in sealed, because everyone will be playing every bomb that they open. But yeah, it's just got to be careful with it.
Does it give us any idea about what's coming? Do we get any, you know, does it tickle the premonitions, Gene? Does it, you know, give us any...
We know something. So Wizards has kind of said that they don't want land cycles to be printed where only half of the land cycles get a land. So,
which was every core set in the past.
Yeah. So we have the enemy core... the enemy pain lands.
Yep, so this is Caves of Koilos, Shivan Reef, Battlefield Forge. Oh, shit.
you started something here.
Land of War Wastes.
Land of War Wastes and... The other one. Everyone
loves that one. It's probably the green-white one.
Green-white. Who gives a shit about green-white?
But I would bet a fair amount of money that Khans of Tarkir will have the other half. They may not be pain lands, but they might be something similar. So that you still have both halves of the mana fixing, but just not in one set.
Yeah.
Okay. My final question for the M15 spoilers is, have there been any sightings of the Rampaging Beaver in any of the cards?
No. I've been looking hard in every piece of artwork, but the spoiler only just came out 2 days ago, and we think that the Rampaging Beaver managed to...
He's been snubbed.
His Planeswalker spark ignited, and he managed to leave Theros, but we're not sure where he is at the moment. Hopefully he's going
to
turn up.
To be fair, some cards have not had their art shown yet.
Yeah, okay.
So we know the text of all cards.
If there's any sightings, please let us know. We're worried about the little guy. Yeah. He was, you know, he's all touched our hearts. and we'd like to see him again.
Okay.
MTG card quiz, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
M15.
Oh.
Edition.
MTG card quiz, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15. it doesn't go high enough. Haven't got lyrics. Almost those lyrics became good for us. Yeah. No, not quite. All right. I feel like I might have gone easy on you this guy. Don't get on you this time, guys.
Oh, okay.
So,
good.
But we'll see.
Good.
So MTG card quiz. This is MTG card quiz number 7.
I can't say MTG card quiz without like...
MTG card quiz, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Just like accenting it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
All right, so an example of this is if I was to say, what is the Dick Taste of Heliod? You would say...
Caramel.
It's all close. Caramel.
Vanilla.
Caramel vanilla, of course. Yeah, remember from last time? I used the same question. same example question as last time.
I say Carametro.
What is the Dick Taste of Crufix?
Mystery. Yeah. So now you're up to speed, Ken. Here we go. Number one. You ready? You ready, Phil?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you hiding your answers?
Hit me out.
Okay. Name the promo cards for this year's Jewels of the Planeswalkers. Available on all formats. Xbox One, PS4. What else is there?
Do I remember?
Anyway. Jolly good fun. If you're just listening to this for the first time, this is a magic podcast, and you don't know what magic
is. We write things that you can't see.
This is where I learned to play magic. Was on. Ooh.
Can you tell us how many answers there are for this?
No, I can't.
We get 1 point for each one, though, right?
Yeah.
If there's more than one,
I'm not giving anything away.
Okay, I've got you now, Mr. Graham. Okay, this might be rough.
Just a score recheck. Was it 1-0 to Aaron? Okay, so that was question number one. Question number two. Okay, listen carefully now. You might want to take notes.
Sure.
Which of the following is not an M15 intro pack?
Oh.
Oh, fuck.
I'm so screwed.
A. Hit the ground running.
That sounds fake.
B. Will of the Masses.
That sounds fake.
That's white.
C. Dragon's Hoard. D, Price of Betrayal.
Oh, Jesus.
E, Infernal Intervention. I didn't go super silly with the fake one.
Like, can I get those dicks. Answers again?
So, yeah, you've got A, Hit the Ground Running, B, Will of the Masses, C, Dragon's Hoard, D, Price of Betrayal, or E, Infernal Intervention. One of those is not an M15 intro pack. So someone at home will be gutted when I give the answers because they'll go, oh, I was going to play that.
Sorry, I got Price of Betrayal, Hit the Ground Running, Dragon's Hoard, Infernal Intervention.
Yeah,
Will of the Masses. Okay, so yeah. One of them.
There's
is
five. Not. I gave you five. Yeah. One of them
is not
bollocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. I've guessed one.
Okay. Question number three. This is the money question, Aaron. So if you fucked up that one, just don't worry about it. Sure. Concentrate now. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a one in five chance.
Yeah. Right.
Pick A to D. Whatever. Is that right? A to D. A to E.
A to E.
A to E.
Good. What's with the alphabet,
fourth?
Dave.
A one,
a
two,
G.
B, C, D. Sure. Okay, yeah.
A to P.
Okay, and I've got it written down in front of me. Okay, I've titled this the Retro Corset Question.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Retro Corset Question.
Which is this like one of those corsets that's just become more popular recently?
Corset question. Yeah.
Lace.
Which one supports the breasts whilst tucking in the waist?
Also having a sexy allure.
Yes. Okay. Retro
All of them.
Corset. All. Retro Corset Question. Which sorcery card cost one swamp and red? I'm waiting for Aaron's eyes to light up here. Which sorcery card cost one swamp and red? Destroy target green or white creature.
It cost black, red.
What? No, and red. It read, the text on it read.
Oh,
R-E-A-D.
God.
Which sorcery card cost one swamp?
Oh, yeah.
And red.
Destroy, I was like, they don't have multicolored cards.
Destroy,
I was like,
Dreadnought.
Target. Terminate.
Destroy target green or white creature. And there's a bonus to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get a point for each set it appeared in.
I'm out. I think I know this one.
Oh, Keen's throwing the pen down. Yeah.
I have no idea.
It was part of a cycle with...
It's part of the hate cycle.
It's part of the... No,
Life
Keen,
zombie.
But which hate cycle?
Don't listen to this bit, Aaron. Keen, listen in, right? It's a retro corset question. You can get bonus points for which set it appears in. Okay, so you might be able to jag some.
But every corset... Wait, could I just guess every corset?
No.
I've guessed two.
Yeah, okay.
Two I didn't play.
Back to the top of the quiz now.
Okay, cool. All right.
Question number one. Name the promo cards for this year's Jewels of the Planeswalkers. What have we got, Aaron?
Soul of Ravnica. Soul of Innistrad. Soul of Zendikar, I think.
Okay.
Rav, Innistrad, Zendikar.
What have you got, Kian?
I have Soul of Blue and Soul of Green, because I can't actually remember their names. However, the blue one is Ravnica. The green
you
one
didn't
is
say that. I told you what they were.
We told you to cheat off him in the last round. What's your answer, Kian?
Zendikar and Ravnica.
Soul of Zendikar, Soul of Ravnica.
To be fair, Aaron, we discussed this before the podcast.
We did. I think we discussed this 2 or 3 hours ago.
Okay. Yeah. And in light of the last question, before we get there,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking if you guess a wrong answer...
Mm-hmm. It's a negative.
It's a negative?
Oh, no. I know what's happened. All right. Sure. Okay.
There is only two promos, I understand.
But it's on three platforms.
I was going to say that earlier, but I didn't think you'd screw this one up so badly.
Fuck.
All right, yeah. So that being the rule, the answer is Soul of Zendikar and Soul of Ravnica.
Only?
Yes.
There's only two of them.
So does this determine ties only, right?
So if it's a tie, I have 2 points. You have 1 point. Because you got two correct
lose
answers
a point for that.
And one incorrect answer.
Oh, this is going to play hell with the... Now, if
I think it should decide draws. So I get the points, but then Kian wins if it's a draw.
No.
Because I got it wrong.
No.
Okay.
This is great.
You got it wrong.
All right.
Negative it's fine.
This is great podcasting where we make up the rules. Yeah. Super. So what are we doing? I'm the quiz master
he
here.
He'll get the points. He gets two and I only get one.
He gets two. You stay... What?
One.
So I believe we are currently tied on 2 points each.
Yeah, we're on two each.
All right, yeah, I see, because you've got one taken off.
Yeah, cool.
All right, people at home, that was really confusing. The score at the moment is 2-2.
All right.
Which of the following is not an M15 intro pack? A, Hit the Ground Running. B, Will of the Masses. C, Dragon's Horde. D, Price of Betrayal. E, Infernal Intervention. Aaron, what have you got?
Price of Betrayal.
Price of Betrayal. Which one are you going for, Kian?
Dragon's Horde.
Dragon's Horde. The answer is Price of Betrayal.
No!
Yes!
No!
Should have been Price of Glory.
Yes, Price of Glory.
Price of Glory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Betrayal. Every time. It sounds rock solid.
Price of Betrayal.
What made you think that one? Was that actual product knowledge?
Because Infernal Interventions makes sense because the black one is the demon. And I knew that that one makes more sense with the demon that's the front cover rare.
And then
Price of Betrayal is a black thing. So I was like, if they're both black, that one has to be.
Yeah. Well
my
done.
Guess was there aren't many dragons in M15.
Hoarding Dragon is...
That's exactly what I'd have done. I thought, Dragon's Hoard, and there's no way. It sounds too much like Dragon's Maze.
Dragon, but it's not the intro deck promo.
It's in the intro deck, though.
Yes! Seven!
All right.
I ticked Dragon's Hoard because I thought it was that, and then I remembered Hoarding Dragons in the intro deck.
Okay, so now remember, for this last one, we're plussing and minusing the way through.
Okay, here
so
we go.
Don't overcommit. All right,
here we go.
Every core set.
We'll do the card first, then we'll do the sets. All right. So retro core set question: which sorcery card costs one swamp and red, destroy target green or white creature? Kian, what's the name of the card?
I'm out.
Because I know you'll know it, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What is it?
It's Deathmark.
It is Deathmark. Yeah. Well done.
Never heard of it.
Legacy playable.
Really?
Kills Tarmogoyf for one mana in black.
Ooh.
All right, so that takes you to 4-2. Okay, ooh. Now we've got... This would be great if you came back.
No, it wouldn't.
It's 4 Aaron, 2 to Kian. All right, what are you going to commit to on the... which sets did it appear in?
I've played all the sets that it was in and I sideboarded it. So it was in the Ignite Disorder cycle... with Combust and stuff.
He's
as well.
He's just saying words now. I
know.
None of these are sets.
Stop stalling, Aaron.
Yeah.
M10, M11. It was in M10 and M11, I think.
It was in M10 and M11.
And then they stopped printing it after that.
They stopped printing it. Okay.
It was originally printed in Cold Snap, if you care about that.
Yeah. Okay, Cold Snap.
I guessed blindly M10 and M11.
Yeah.
Because they're the two core sets I haven't played since M6.
Oh, right, yeah.
Since like sixth edition. I didn't know the card, so I was like, maybe that's
a dark spot then. All
right.
Okay. It was Deathmark, and
the artwork is sweet. Did you see the artwork?
Yeah, the artwork's awesome.
So
that's
cool.
What drew my eye to it. Deathmark was from M10 and M11 and M12.
Oh, fuck.
And Cold Snap.
Yes!
And 10th edition.
And 10th edition
and
well.
And 10th edition. This is what I had.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
Yeah, so it was in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yeah,
altogether.
That card. I remember it.
With the eye.
Sweet looking
eye. Oh, it's so sick.
And it's a skull, like, coming
down
here.
Yeah, it's a black
well,
mana
like,
symbol.
And it's
the eye, yeah. It's
nice. Crying it's black
very
tears.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Okay, I thought I'd gone easy on you there, but, you know, with the big thing. So, once again, Aaron's undefeated.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Whatever. We expect this.
It was close. Yeah. So he got the corsets. That was good logic, though.
Yeah.
The ones he hadn't played, and you didn't recognize it.
Kian's very good with a corset.
I love me some corsets.
Tweets.
Corsets.
Tweets
and
things.
News.
Maybe we should rename the segment because it's mostly Facebook comments and news.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some tweets one day. Tweets. Well, we've got... have you got one?
Yeah, I've got one. This one's regarding M15 spoilers. We asked, what cards are you most excited for?
Yeah, that's pretty much the one that got the main hit there.
Yeah. So we asked, what M15 cards are you most excited for? And we got a couple of responses from one fellow.
Yeah.
Greg. Who says, Waste Not, which is a black enchantment. This one's complicated. One and a black for an enchantment. Whenever a player discards a creature card, put a 2/2 zombie into play tapped. Whenever they discard a land card, add black to your mana pool. Whenever they discard a non-creature, non-land card, an ability of some kind.
How long is this card? Is it like super?
It was ridiculous. The one that was designed by the community.
It's like the size of an iPhone.
Yeah, it's just like when you open it in your booster bag, it's just
it
like
rolls out, hits the floor,
slightly longer than the others.
Yeah,
he says it's going to be fantastic for black and will allow people pick discard like Sirens of the Silent Song as flying aggro that also ramps you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That one doesn't work because it gives you the mana. In your upkeep, and then you need to spend that mana in your upkeep, and it doesn't go over to the main phase because Siren of the Silent Song triggers when it untaps.
Yeah.
So you can only use that mana in your upkeep, and then it's gone by the time you get to the main phase. But it is going to be sweet. You can Thought Seize them, and it adds, you get a 2/2 out of it as well for discarding a creature card. So Wasteland's very interesting. And he also said, wow, I just saw a new Garruk. Hello, every ban list in the game.
Do you think he's heading to be banned? Garruk?
Nah, he got 7. He's too expensive to be banned.
If he costs 6, probably, but 7 is...
I think Elspeth is more likely to be banned because Elspeth is stupidly good.
You don't think like Corsair and Crucifix is more likely?
No, just because it doesn't do enough. Like, it's not powerful enough that people are like, I hate playing against Corsair of Crucifix. They'll just Doomblade it if they really have a problem with it. Whereas, like, Stoneforge Mystic and Jace are both like, you can't, like, Doomblade it. The effects already happened. Like, you know.
But, like, if I was going to ban a card that was going to stop... Like, if there's one card that's going to stop aggro from being a thing, it'll be Corsair of Crucifix.
They just kill it, though. They just... There's lots of ways to deal with it. Even if you Last Breath it.
Yeah, that's
true. People are like, oh, just main deck Last Breath to deal with Corsair
and Devouring Lights.
I would love to know a card. You know, I'd love to know that we were playing with a card that would be banned because I'd make sure I played with it more.
Yeah, me too.
It would just be like, ooh, like, it's so exciting.
The last week before Jason Stoneforge Mystic got banned, I played the shit out of it. I just like crushed kids at FNM with Jason Stoneforge Mystic. It was fun.
So how does Greg finish off?
Greg says himself and a store regular also realized new spoiler today, the Chain Veil, which is one of the legendary mythic artifacts we didn't mention, goes infinite with Nissa Worldwaker and Ral Zarek.
Oh, you're going to talk us through that.
So, the Chain Veil.
Because it never works, is it? There's always a flaw in the plan.
This one does work.
Okay.
In the situation in which you have red and blue lands to cast Ral Zarek.
Yeah.
You have the Chain Veil out, which is a 4-mana legendary artifact that costs 2 to activate.
Yeah.
And Nissa Worldwaker. And enough forests to untap.
Yeah.
So you need Nissa and Ral Zarek and Chain Veil out. You activate Nissa's ability to untap a bunch of forests.
Yeah.
And then play the Chain Veil
with the forests.
With the forests to target Nissa so that she can activate that ability again.
Yeah.
With Ral Zarek.
So she untaps again.
So she'll untap. She'll be able to untap.
No.
Once another time.
Okay.
So you untap the forest again with her, and then you use Ral Zarek to tap and untap permanents, and you untap the Chain Veil.
Yeah.
Which gives you another activation of the Chain Veil, and you've got enough mana from Nissa that you can just target Nissa with the Chain Veil as many times you want, because Ral Zarek and the Chain Veil, you can target Ral Zarek and Nissa alternatingly, and then make infinite amounts of mana.
When does the damage happen?
Infinite damage happens from you can
essentially you can ultimate Ral Zarek and Nissa. Ral Zarek flips some coins, you take some extra turns, and then you attack with all your basic lands.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can just ultimate them both the turn after they come.
So for all you red, blue, green deck players?
Someone's going to try it. Yeah. Someone might win one game out of 100 with that particular combo. It seems fun.
Wedge?
Red, blue, green is a wedge, which is
Khans of Tarkir.
Khans of Tarkir, if they have the red, blue, green wedge, that's obviously no. Ral Zarek won't be in standard then. Nah, this combo's not going to work.
Anyway,
I'm out.
Guess what? Guess who it is?
It's not him. Yeah. Surely it's not.
The Medax. Tim the Medax has been in touch.
Classic Medax.
Yeah, all right. And to the same question as
same
well.
Same question.
All right, so we've asked what M15 card are you excited about? The Medax got back in touch. He said Shrapnel Blast. That's his favourite.
That's his fave.
That's his fave.
Pretty good.
Shrapnel Blast is very strong.
What is Shrapnel Blast going to do?
Is 2 and a red, instant, as an additional cost to play it, sacrifice an artifact. 5 damage to creature or player.
Oh, okay.
So you play Darksteel Citadel, also in the set. It's an indestructible land, which can still be sacrificed. You just chuck it in red decks as a 4 of, along with your mutavolts and whatever, and then some shrapnel blasts, and you can just do 5 damage to them, like right at the end. Just throw your lands at their face.
But hang on a minute.
Wait a second.
You know what happened?
No.
Yeah.
No.
The Medex.
Surely not.
The Medex again.
Again.
I know.
That's crazy.
Right after that, he thought, Shrapnel Blast, that's my card. But no, he's changed his mind. He's gone, actually.
Shrapnel Blast, he said that very early in spoiler season.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. And then, 2 days later, he got back in touch and said, actually, Urborg.
Tomb of Yawgmoth.
Ah.
So this is a land, legendary land, says all lands are swamps in addition to the other types. So
I kind of wish this was forest, because then Nissa would be way better.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
Is there swamp
be
walking creatures in the release?
Not heaps. Urborg is generally used in combo decks where they need lots of black mana along with random other colors. But in standard, it just means that
Black Devotion goes.
Black Devotion
crazy.
Wants it, because it just means your Mutavolts can tap for black mana now, because they're a swamp land.
Nykthos could tap for black, which they might start playing with, like Ingaric's Wake and stuff.
Oh yeah, so you make lots of mana. All your lands are swamps. You can people just chuck Urborg in decks because it's just like, why not have black mana? It does help opposing black decks because it's all lands, and it doesn't hinder your opponent any because the lands can still tap for whatever color they originally tapped for. But yeah, it's a sweet card. It's got lots of weird applications. But yeah, it's a fun card. It was $40 before they spoiled it in M15.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, they're probably going to print Corrupt. Didn't print Corrupt.
Thank God they didn't print Corrupt, yeah.
Still no Vampire Nighthawk.
No Vampire Nighthawk.
So disappointed.
Sorry, Wildsmith.
I know.
Card's too good, David.
I know, but it's...
Let it go.
It's pretty.
It's so pretty.
Before Jason Chan got too polished.
Yeah. Okay, so next course set, they're going to do redone Vampire Nighthawk. He's a 1/3.
Okay, no, I'm over it. It's all 1/3.
I'm out.
Okay. I'm out.
See ya.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up then. Aaron, you have
it's time to bestow upon thee, Kian DeVries Turnell, your 7-land hand, Hyper Magic Nerd badge.
You are now a Hyper Magic Nerd badge.
Yeah.
High five in public with anyone that you see. Yeah, nice stuff. All right, wear it proudly at any event and all events. Next fortnight, we're going to be back with Matt McHale, the resident... Malarial Matt McHale of board game...
7-land hand
infinite
fame.
Knowledge.
Yep.
We're doing Small World.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah,
I really enjoy Small World.
Yeah, Small World's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that. So look forward to that, board game fans. And then...
And in a month, I guess we'll be talking Super Series and M15 Limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have a, I think it's League, isn't it? For League. Be a sealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sealed. That should be really exciting.
Oh, man. Now I'm going to definitely get myself M15 League.
Let's get some sealed happening.
Love
a
course.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great way to practice for the GP.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to practice. Don't talk it down. That's my ultimate. You know, like if you could ultimate me, I'd be like that. Would be it.
Be like target league.
-8. Play corset league.
Just play corset. They don't even win.
No, I just
it's
play.
Like +1. Play league. +1. Play league.
You walk
-8. Win league.
I just like walking around the store with a deck, going, "Someone, do you want a game of Magic?" And they go, not with you.
Sometimes you're under the desk.
Not with
league
you, sir.
Game? League game?
Yeah, you just appear from under the cloth.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, where did you come from?
League game? Oh, yeah, all right.
I'm sorry, milady, but if I could just put this your thigh to one side.
Hey.
Would you like a game of League?
Oh,
no.
Yes.
I'm just calling the police now. I'll see you right after that.
How did you have Temple of Milady in your M15 league deck?
See what you did there.
He's mad cheating. That's why he likes it so much.
It's because he's got the Hyper Magic Nerd badge now. He's going for the
Hyper
high fives.
Magic,
yeah, it's taken him up a level. He's leveled up. Sign us off, Aaron.
All right.
Take us out.
Thank you very much to Kian for coming in.
The DVT.
He's a long-time listener. Faithful member of Team Secret Theros Draft with myself and Ash Webster and some other people. Oh,
who
Tarbo,
are important.
Tarbo's on it, whatever. but yeah, and also thanks to Dr. David, as usual, for prescribing us a good podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming, gentlemen.
Like a doctor. Okay. Yeah. It's me, Aaron, the Wandering Bard. The legendary creature that we were talking about earlier. So
yeah, who's not very good.
Hey, that's pretty mean. I've come to you with tales of the best flavor cards from M15.
Birthing Pod 3.0.
Me, Aaron, Wandering Bard, Birthing Pod 3.0, I would be so lucky. Number four on my list of top four flavor cards, Hammer Hand. It's like you give a creature a hammer.
With lava in it.
For a hand.
And
so he's got a hammer hand, and the picture is... It's got a hammer for a hand.
Sound like you're announcing like BBC from the 1950s.
Hello, welcome to BBC. Hammer hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're all here today.
hammer hand. So it gives a creature +1/+1 in haste. And when it enters, a creature can't block this turn. I don't know why. It's got a hammer for a hand. I'll still be able to block creatures with a hammer for a hand. The second one is Ulcerate.
What happened to number three?
No, the second one. Second one is Ulcerate, which is you just like make a creature very, very stressed and then it gets stomach ulcers and it's like, ah, and then it falls down and dies. So that's a pretty good flavor on that
it's
one.
It's not true about ulcers being stressed. It's just like a bug or something like that.
Cause stomach ulcers? I thought they can be caused by stress.
No, there was a guy that infected himself with it, got ulcers and then cured himself by it by showing something. It was, I don't know, something that was written ages ago.
So you can infect a creature with stomach ulcers.
Not a medical show, go away.
Anyway, number three, Meteorite. It's a 5-mana artifact, and when it comes into play, you do 3 damage to target creature.
Or player,
and then you tap it for 1 mana. So it's like a meteorite just comes into play.
Oh,
like,
an extra bit of land.
Squashes a thing, and then you can like, I'm sensing some mana coming off this rock. So just, I'm pretty sure the picture just like landed on like this goblin and like killed it, and you can use the mana for it.
Wow,
and then,
that's great. I like that.
And number one.
Oh.
There's a card in M15 called Hot Soup.
Ooh, hello.
It costs 1 mana for an artifact.
Coming through!
I'm looking for some hot soup, baby, this evening.
I sure hope you don't put this in your limited. Well, it's okay. It says, equipped creature can't be blocked. If equipped creatures dealt damage, destroy it. So the flavor is, the picture's like a goblin carrying a big cauldron of soup, and he says... The flavor text is coming through, and if he gets touched by anything, he drops the hot soup on himself and he dies.
Died by
hot soup. Yeah. And that's the best flavor card because the flavor of the hot soup is chicken and sweet corn.
Oh, I should have been pea and ham.
Pea and ham is in good soup.
Yeah, pea and ham. Very good soup. Excellent farting the next day.
I had mulligatawny the other day. I didn't know what to think.
No.
Well, you had to mulligatawny.
I thought that was an island off
mulligatawny.
No, I thought it was an island of Scotland. Mulligan Tory. So ends our podcast.